Hello, we are back. Our sisters are going to be sharing some scriptures and some encouragement from them, and we'll just see where it goes.
Yes, amen.
All right, so I'm going to talk about chaste. The word chaste, it means pure from carnality, innocent, perfect, and clean. And we see Romans 8 shows us that carnality is of the flesh, and we can't please God in the flesh. Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then I want to read a little bit more. Let's see, verses 5 through 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So we see carnality is in opposition to being chaste. And if we're walking in the Spirit, we can do all things through Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Right. And so we can be chaste, which is pure from carnality, innocent and perfect and clean. So I wanted to read a few scriptures on it. This is one that we women know well. I'm just going to read Titus 2:5. To be discreet, chaste, and I'm going to put the words in there. To be discreet, chaste, pure from carnality, innocent, perfect, and clean, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So we know that one. There's a couple more I want to read. 1 Peter 3:2. While they behold your chaste, pure from carnality, innocent, perfect, and clean conversation coupled with fear. I like putting those words in there because it gives you a deeper meaning. And 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste, pure from carnality, innocent, perfect, and clean virgin to Christ. And so that's a tall order, becoming a chaste virgin to Christ. And the reason why I'm talking about this is because if you've come from the world and you were filthy and dirty in gross amounts of sin, like many people are, it's a hard concept to wrap your mind around that you could be so totally cleansed that you could be considered chaste. And it's something that I struggled with early on in my walk in Christ. But as you grow and mature, you see that the Lord, He is above all of that. And as you shed your flesh, your worldliness, your carnality, you can be considered chaste. I want to look at another passage, Philippians 4:8, and the word pure in there is the same Greek word as chaste. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And so if you look at the big picture of it all, it's someone who's been washed in the blood of Christ, who's repented of their sins and been born from above. They have a new heart, a new life, and they're walking in obedience, and they're living a life worthy of the one who died for them. And that would be a pure, clean, innocent, perfect, chaste person. Like I was talking about in the beginning, you can be washed clean and be considered chaste. And this scripture here, I'm going to wrap it up, paints the most awesome description of what it is. Revelation 21:9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will shew thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And that last part right there, the Lamb's wife. Doesn't that kind of paint a picture of what chaste would be?
Yes, pure.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful. So let's strive to be godly, chaste women. And as we go through, we can pick out different characteristics of women and dig into it. Because that's only one. That's only one that we're supposed to be. So anyway, that's what I had to share.
Oh. Amen. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you. That was...
God goes along with... Sorry. And goes along with the word saint as well, because that means holy. And so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Obviously, all throughout scripture, it's like... essential. Essential,
right.
To be holy.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, thank you. That was very edifying. So I'll go into my. I had a word too that has been sticking out to me lately. It's diligent, because we need a lot of diligence in our Christian walk. We can't just be lackadaisical and just sort of take our time on things. We need to be seeking, earnest, and diligent. So the definition is properly vehement. That is, with or without, vehemently, by implication, wholly, speedily. So it's it gives you the impression that you're always supposed to be seeking, pressing in, striving, and fighting, I guess. We're probably fit to press into the kingdom of God and in the things of God, in your walk as a Christian. So then I had a few scripture verses. The first one is Joshua 22:5. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. That doesn't leave anything out.
No, it doesn't.
Then Isaiah 55:1-2. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And then 1 Timothy 5:10, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed after every good work. So just thinking of that word diligently, it's like diligently, which vehemently follow after every good work. It just ties into so many things, like losing your life for Christ. Mm-hmm. It means that you can't be halfway in any area of life when it comes to your Christian faith or your walk with the Lord. It's all in, all the time.
Yep.
Every day, always.
Right.
And then I was thinking in Isaiah, where it says to diligently, hearken diligently unto me. You know, it's like when you study the Word of God, and when someone is talking about it, you're supposed to hearken diligently. You can't just even skip over one word. You have to study it all. We live by every word out of the mouth of God. So.
Right, I love that. Yeah, that's encouraging.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an awesome thought.
Yeah, it's a good reminder for us. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, just this morning I was thinking, came across the scripture, it said the forwardness of your mind is like readiness of mind. It's being proactive, and there's that scripture about you shall find the Lord if you seek him with all your heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's the action to put action and effort to seek after him and follow his ways.
Yeah, exactly. We don't sit around and wait for him to do it all.
No.
He already did his part. We need to do ours. In order for us to do ours and be diligent and vehement, he gives us the power to do it. It's awesome.
It is.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So that was all I had for now.
Not. It was good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That was awesome.
Okay, so I can go next then. I wanted to share some scriptures about our Savior, because as we talk about what you focus on magnifies, and I want to first start with this Psalm 34:3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So I'm just going to read some scriptures about our Savior, and that will magnify him.
Nice.
Philippians 2:5-11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking and pondering the depths about servanthood that Jesus himself showed us. And, you know, he said, whoever will be greatest, let him be a servant. I guess it's the opposite of selfishness. Obviously, yeah. Anyway, that's awesome. Scripture, mm-hmm. And I have Hebrews 1:1-4. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Yeah, we listened to his son. It reminded me of this scripture. Matthew 17:5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Yeah, reminds me of the sheep hearing his voice and following him.
Right.
Hebrews 13:12-13. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Yeah, that's awesome too. And the last scripture I have, which is a very well-known one, but obviously we don't.
We love them all.
Yeah, amen. You know, sometimes we can read through them, but it's good to, like, read slowly and carefully and diligently and ponder what it says. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Yeah, that's the true saviour of the scriptures, not the popular Jesus of our culture, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does show his power.
Yeah, obviously I had to stop getting scriptures, but yeah, that's awesome, those ones, and obviously there's many more, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are awesome. Yeah, they paint an awesome picture of who he is. I mean, even one scripture does, but yeah, they build upon themselves, and it shows a Savior Creator that we can't even fathom the depths of, and his power.
Yeah.
And he increases and we decrease. We are on his footstool. He's on his throne.
Amen. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, those are awesome. Thank you for sharing those.
Yeah, thank you. That was edifying. It helps
you. Yeah.
It's good to focus on him and his word.
Amen.
Yeah. And because, you know, Christ crucified is the whole foundation of the gospel in our lives. And
it is.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's one that's so easily overlooked and trampled on in today's society. We need to keep lifting it up. Him up.
Yeah. Amen, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, we can never lie. Enough, can't do it too much.
Right. Right, amen, that's awesome. Like,
in heaven, it's going to be, like, total.
I know.
Glorifying and praising him and worshiping him, thanking him and all that.
Yep, I was just thinking about that. It's going to be ongoing.
So we can strive to do it the best we can here.
Right, it should be ongoing for us here, too. Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Well, I think that will be it for this one. I look forward to what we all bring the next time. This is nice because we don't necessarily know what everybody's bringing. And so sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. So it's kind of nice to be able to hear it and just be blessed by one another sharing his truth. That's awesome. So I'll let that go here. And Lord willing, we'll be back again.
Amen.
Amen. Love you.